This is going to be interactive, so if you take notes, you might want to just jog some things down. I'll give you a little bit of an overview, and then but as we get going, I'll ask more questions and I'll give you answers. But Holy Spirit's here to give the answers to the questions I'm asking. So I ask questions, you ask them to the Lord, and he will start replacing things in the divine order for the new year. I came up with that title, you know, instead of a New Year's resolutions, New Year's revelations. And the first scripture that came to me was in 2 Kings chapter 6. And you know the story, it's about Elijah with his servant. And because he is creating such havoc in Syria, the king of Syria has decided it's time to get rid of the prophet. So he sends an army to remove the prophet. And something happens that he wasn't prepared for. So it was in the morning, though, the servant, who, you know, you can be so close to the anointing, so close to the prophetic movement that you're but so far away from what's happening that you freak out at the most inopportune moments. But it's part of how we all learn. And so it says, verse 15, chapter 6 of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to me, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" I often think about David when he says, you know, though an army encamp about me, I will not be afraid. That isn't the kind of fear that because you think you're just an awesome warrior and you go take him down. That's the kind of confidence in that there's a greater, something greater than what we have access to or what has access to us. The trust in it. He said, that was the whole psalm of my delight, my desire to be in your temple, to seek you. This is the one thing I've ever wanted, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when we pursue the Lord, we inadvertently are transferring our place of life into the secret place. And the more that life gets settled into the secret place, the more all of the benefits of the secret place begin to become ours, which are like 1,000-fold at our right hand, 10,000 at our left hand. It does not come near us. We only see the end of those who are wicked. We start knowing that we're under shelter, under love. Because we've loved, we have been called to be delivered. And so God brings us into his presence, and we practice that. Then he speaks words of promise, and we embrace them, and they're contended over, warred over, pressed against. But we hold, and we learn, and we start to shift the confidence from where we are currently walking through to what God is offering us, opening the door for us. But this servant wakes up and sees nothing but fear. He says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And then he says, verse 16, "Don't be afraid, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." I love that, isn't that? "Open my eyes that I may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. All around Elijah, not around the city, not taking up a strategic defense against the army. They just, that, you know, sometimes we tend to talk about what's an open heaven look like. That's like an open heaven. That's like, I remember Catherine Coleman in one of her teachings I heard. She said, you know, people want They want to get something and geographically place open. And she said, but they don't understand open heavens are not open over geographical areas, they're over people. The open heaven is over people. Like Jesus said to one of his disciples, he said, "You will see the heavens open over the Son of Man, and the angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man." So that's part of why we get all this training programs set, you know, hell comes along and heaven almost encourages, because heaven's training us to know, you know what, your access to heaven is uninterrupted no matter where you are, no matter what's contending, so long as you don't fall into the fear, fall into the overwhelmingness of it, come into the emotions, get freaked out. And I'll help you go through enough of freak outs that you will get more and more like, well, whatever. I freak out, then I trust. I get panicked, and then I rest. And you get, we get our own capacity to go, nope, that's the first response. The first thing looks bad. Let's go. God opened his eyes. So he sees these horses and chariots of fire. And so when the Syrians came down, then Elijah prays. And here's another thing about an open heaven and eyes to see. When your eyes are open to see, it often blinds the eyes of those who are trying to pursue you. It's like we can see in light and we can't see in darkness. The devil can see in darkness, but he can't see in light. The fruit of the Spirit is one of the greatest defenses of living life on the planet, because when we're in the fruit of the Spirit, the devil has no capacity to function there. It's totally out of the wisdom faction. He doesn't know how to war against love. He cannot war against joy. He doesn't know what to do with peace. So he seeks to always get us out of peace, because he knows how to get us to deal with, you know, anxiety, but he doesn't know how to deal with peace. So now Elijah said to him, this is not the way. Oh, excuse me, verse 18. I hadn't finished it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Strike the people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now Elijah said to him, This is not the way, nor the city. Follow me, I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led him into Samaria. So the story, as you know, is that then he asked them to open their eyes. If they freak out, we are caught. We are in the headquarters of the nation we're at war against. And the king of Samaria says to Elijah, what do you want me to do, kill him? He says, you wouldn't kill captives. God has just captured your enemies. Feed them and send them home. All because one prophet was helping God's kingdom of Samaria, Israel, to try to keep their moving life forward. And the king got so upset that he was going to eliminate the prophetic voice. And once the prophetic voice was challenged, see, God... The devil always wants to stop the prophetic in your life. He wants to stop revelation. He wants to stop any sense of good, solid communications toward us about how to move in the earth. Because if he can do that, then we're walking blind. At best, we're trying to keep the law, which will only turn us in circles after a while. But because this, we have to be able to walk in the Spirit and not... The flesh knows how to function in the law, but the flesh can't function in the Spirit. So when you walk in the Spirit, the flesh starts to just fall off, even if you're not trying to. It just can't seem to function in the same room. It's like the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh is where the devil can function so well in, but he can't function in the fruit. So if you're in the fruit, then the works start to fall off. Okay, all said to say this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said a very simple thing, verse 17 and 18. Can we go there? This is my teaching part. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, we'll start at 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's a promise. Truth. It's happening. No matter, well, I guess it is a little bit, could not be for us at the moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not eternal. So if you work that story backwards, as long as we keep our eyes on the unseen, then whatever we're going through is only building greater glory into our lives. And the outcome is just that. And the inner man is being renewed in the conflict. Now, on the flip side, if you start looking at what's going on all around you, even though it's just but temporary, you lose the place of connection to the eternal. And you begin to become displaced in your own self from the joy and the blessing and the victory that's being offered to us through this conflict. It says that when it came time for promise to be fulfilled, Abraham had to have finally become convinced that whatever God said he can do, and it doesn't require me to perform or behave or be a good boy. It just has to do with God having spoken and I'm now convinced he can perform it. So I'll walk through the day, and I won't worry about what I did or didn't do or what I need to do or don't need to do. I'll just let God perform what he promised. That's all in Romans 4. But because of to do that, he had to make two, besides getting in the presence, hearing God's voice, getting convinced that what God said, the hope came back alive, he was going to believe, yes, it's time, here I am, I'm here. He had to do that. Then he had to go and walk out of the presence of God, take a look at his body, take a look at Sarah over there and go, I'm dead now, and she's always been dead. Her womb's never worked, and I'm old and tired, but whatever. That's not, I'm just going to take, it literally says he did not consider his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Consider means, it means he did not consider fully. He did not take a long look at that and go, This last couple of years, God's taught me to not look at problems too long. You ever looked at your bank account when you don't have enough to pay your bills? Have you ever noticed the longer you stare at it, it doesn't grow? It just seems to stay the same. In fact, the options seem to go away the more you look at it. It's because you can't consider fully things. What I'm talking about is I'm going to introduce this into a practice that we're going to have a big head start. But the practice is you have to acknowledge that you're going to have to, we have to let unseen be more than seen, truth be greater than lie, let the eternal have the weight versus the temporary weighing us down. And then once we recognize that, then we can put our faith into Christ and go through whatever is going to conflict us. Because what happened is, I wrote this down, because he didn't look at his body, so he didn't consider fully his body or the dead situation. And then it says he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, which means he did not divide thoroughly. So he didn't look at the promise and go, wow, I just don't know how this can be now, because look at how much older I am, and look how long what I did. And after all, I had Ishmael, and Ishmael has to be, now he's the firstborn. So whatever God had said, if he did mean something differently, it can't happen possibly now, because now that I have Ishmael. And you ever notice that if you're stuck in unbelief, you always get stuck on a technicality? It's not Ishmael for you. It's something else that you did or didn't do or should have done or couldn't do. And you get stuck there. You say, tuk, 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 tuk. Well, he didn't do that. He said, I'm just not going there. I'm not going to take the promise of God and dissect it. What he said he meant, I don't know how it means, how it's going to be done now, but I don't need to know. I don't need to, check his math and count the change and make sure he's keeping his promise. I'm going to stay in a yielded, trusting state. So I wrote the opposite down when I was taking my walk today. Okay. Romans 4, begin at verse, consider fully, if I consider fully my deadness and separate thoroughly my promises, unbelief will prevail. Light afflictions, but for a moment. Material, natural, temporal, spiritual, supernatural, eternal. What you look at determines the outcome. So if I look at the material and the natural and the temporal, if I get caught there, then I'm not engaging inside the glory. And the glory isn't always, I wrote this down, look beyond where you are without looking at where you are to change. This is a really hard thing for Westerners to do, to be able to say, I'm here, but I'm not going to let here stop me from looking there. And when I look into the future or look into Christ or look into the promise, I'm not going to look into the promise with the intent to try to force the promise to change to where I am. I'm just going to be where I am, and look where you are. And when I look where you are, I'm going to enjoy that truth without trying to put upon God constraints or requirements or demands, or you said, I can't function, just going to come dwell there, because it is mine, but I'm not going to try to sort out the details, because that's that detailed thing is what really messes me up. So I want to take us to two verses and then practice this. In Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how many of you got to, did you practice bringing all of Christmas into Christ? Anybody do that? I did it all 3 days. Did it today. I just, because you just, if you can't, if we get stuck where we are, we can't go where he is. And if we can't go where he is, we're stuck. But if we can go where he is, we're never stuck. It's as simple as that. When did the chariots of fire show up for Elijah? They probably were always accessible, but maybe probably when he spoke. When did the blindness come to the Syrians? When he asked the Lord to blind him. A lot of times our position in God changes the way we pray and allows us to have prayers of great faith or no faith because we can't see the great God that's in front of us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, verse 30, or verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 30 again. So the flesh doesn't get to have any, you know, any great, you know, part of this, even though we want it wants so desperately. We are in Christ. How many are in Christ Jesus? All right. So we said already that Abraham had a promise. Finally, it came time for the promise to be fulfilled, and he had to finally disengage his behavior as a condition for the promise to be fulfilled. And you will have to, too. We will have to look at the promise and say it's all 100% up to God. Yeah. And it's not, and I cannot disqualify it by my actions. Because if you can, you'll always be tricked into looking over and over and over again what you could have done, should have done, might have done, would have done, and so on. So instead he says, okay, I love this. Jesus was made for me wisdom from God. This whole way I'm talking about the wisdom of God these last few minutes, the way God works, the whole functionality of the supernatural, of seeing and living in the unseen and living in the secret place and seeing what can't be seen in the natural eye, but always looking at the unseen. He's been made unto me righteousness. The wisdom of God for salvation came through Christ. And with Christ, faith in Christ, I am made righteous. I'm okay. I'm accepted in the beloved. Also, he's been made sanctification, which means he's changing me into the image that he wants and ending with the fullness of redemption. Redemption. I believe that as a son, I'm going to be redeemed. I am continually being redeemed out of my messes. In him, in Christ, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of the glory of his grace by which he made known to, which he made to abound to us in wisdom and prudence. So first step I want you to think about is of this year, what of this year didn't go right and isn't going right or stuck or doesn't seem to get unstuck. And just take a moment in your own heart and look back at this year, because we have to let redemption take hold of the year, or we can drag the bad thing of last year into the new year. So just think about, where were you warred over? If you had to name this year, what would you call this year? You know, using it an adjective to describe the noun of the year. Was it awful? Was it wonderful? Was it full of struggle? Was it, you know, was it war? Was it peace? Was it joy? Was it fulfillment? Give the year a name. Because a lot of times we just have to get a name to something so God can then have authority over it. Now, redemption comes through his blood, but it's through the forgiveness of sins. So what sins occurred this year that contended, or what struggles of men's wills or strife or whatever issues? Where were you put into slavery? Where were you captured? Where were you stopped? Where were you running hard and then you lost your step? take a moment and just try to collect yourself in that. Ooh. Online, please do the same thing. We're taking now this time to start to engage ourselves back with God using a time frame of 12 months to look at a path that we've walked through so that there can be ownership and we can then have a name and we can see some of the scenarios and situations and we can have redemption come by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And while you're thinking about that, anybody that comes to mind that really did you wrong, forgive them. Or kind of did you wrong. Or you did yourself wrong. Or you just felt, you know, or God didn't do what he said he would do, you thought he should do. Forgive. Whoa. Whoa. Whew. Bambashi. Now, it's going to get good because we're going to start getting into all of the beautiful things of God in a moment, but it's a lot of times we get stuck because we're never dealing with the bad stuff first. In letting it go, lay it to rest, place it under the blood, put it into Christ's care, give him jurisdiction again, release the person, forgive, let it go, don't consider it longer, don't go over the same scenario. Who cares what you did, what somebody else did, what they did? It doesn't matter. You can't lose your inheritance. You can't lose your destiny. You can't lose what God promised you. It's there. That was the prophecy tonight. I'm bringing you back into what I intended you to be. I'm having a good time. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Now, what I want to do now, and then we'll have a few more moments of Holy Spirit. What happened in the Spirit this year? I put it like this: rehearse your promises, encounters, and experiences with God. Because so much is happening, because we have so much information going through our mind and so much images flooding our mind and emotions, often the most significant moments, even though we know at the moment they're super significant, they just get crowded out by the calendar getting full. And if you, a simple practice, that's why I said one of the things that's going to happen is between now and New Year's Eve, each of us get to go and just walk through the year. You know, it's a funny thing because I have to give you the two things that are important on this. One is quietness. People are afraid to be quiet because they don't like what they're hearing. So they try to fill their heads with other things rather than quieting down to get to the root of why am I so anxious or angry or upset or frustrated. But even more importantly, you know, it says, one of the verses that came to me this year, it was really powerful too because it was right when I was getting sick with pneumonia, right before I knew I had that, a couple weeks into the illness before it really just took over, Cammie came home from a walk and said, the Lord gave me a word, said, returning and rest will be your strength, will be your salvation, and quietness and confidence will be your strength. And it like marked me. One of those moments I go, yeah, that is true, and I know I have to get quiet. I've got to get into rest, and I start getting, and when you hit a level of quietness, let's just say we go through this busyness and just this busyness of the week, you quiet down by levels. It's like cleaning your house. You get layers of it off. You sink a little deeper into the, so right now let's take a moment and quiet yourself. And think about the year. And when you land on, if you have to just start in January and go through the month, but when you have a remembrance of an encounter, a place, time, a season, a theme, mark it. This is where, especially when you're seeing things like this, it's good a lot of times to keep your phone handy to write down notes or write on journal something, because again, what we're going to do is we're taking a box of Legos that are all in pieces, and they start clicking together, and you start seeing something that's far more congruent than you thought it was. So, online quieting. What experiences, words, moments? They don't all have to be just like these moments in the bliss. They could be moments in the trenches and contentions, but yet God spoke in the middle of a warring moment and said, I'm doing this. Remember, David got out of a lot of problems because he could find God anywhere. Back to the open heaven and the fiery chariots. You don't have to go deep into them, but just mark them. Because once you find one, I promise you, tomorrow you'll find three more. God has been talking all year long. And he's been talking to each one of us, not just some of us. He's been talking to every one of us. Yes, the year has a theme, a name over it. There's issues that we have to release and let go of, but there's some beautiful things which are the most important things. The others just to kind of clear the air. The blood takes care of that. Redemption carries us forward. Now we carry the precious with us, the things he said. I want to close with... When you start to note, I'll give you an example. In February, I was in Kenya, and the Lord began to speak about Psalm 2 and the lordship, kiss the Son and come into, partnership with him from his reigning position. Same thing repeated in London and Israel. And I knew that there was something significant about coming into agreement with God. But at the same time is when the Lord really crystallized that phrase, I bring all of me into all of you. I bring all of me, my past, my present, my future. I bring all my emotions, my sins, my circumstances, my callings, my gifts, my purpose, my future, my past. I bring it all into you. So I'm consciously then making that a prayer, which when you do that, there's a lot less to worry about, at least during the prayer time, because you're putting it all back into God and you're placing it all in Christ and you're entering into him. And that has continued to grow. And so today, walking, praying, I'm going, okay, that was significant. And then came the time in June where the Lord began to talk about recalibrating inside the tent of meeting, and that the Lord knows me not just as Steve and son, but as Steve, his son, within an inheritance and purpose that he's given me to be a part of the body of Christ, and I'm part of that which is creating the fullness of him who fills all in all, which was a powerful thing God was saying for a great season, and now I'm much more comfortable. He says, I want you, when you come to me, come as a son that has been accepted in my love, but I want you to come with the inheritance that I've given you in my promises and the confidence of your word of hope, your confession of hope, and meet me here. I do not know you just because I saved you. I know you with a salvation with a purpose, sonship with purpose. A lot of times we're trying to make ourselves feel good, and we don't understand that sometimes that's just a smokescreen to make yourself trying to make yourself feel good. The warfare is to disengage you not from feeling good or feeling bad. It's to disengage you from your assignment, your purpose, because your purpose, for this, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to seek and save the lost. He knew God as Son, but he stayed focused on the assignment. And that Moses had to recalibrate. So I'm taking a walk today, and all these things start clicking. Just because I took the moment to quiet and look back and watch over time and go, what was he saying? He's doing the same for all of us. So Lord, help us right now. Bring to our, oh, there you are. I know, I was going to tell everybody. John 14. Is this helping? I because it's subjective, but it's also, it's eternal. I'm just using me as an example. I'm getting all this. Okay, you have an assignment to pray with me. Remember, then February came, and I'm taking mine in my own business, and I asked God, what do you do about the rain? He said, humble yourself and pray in February, and I'll send rain in March, and he did. And then after that, he got done with that, and I go, God, that was incredible. What do you want me to do now? He says, tell Turkey to go out of Syria and quit attacking the Turkish people, or not the Kurdish, Kurds. So I started doing that. And ever since then, it's this different way of praying and way of listening. Because honest truth is, God knows how to pray about everything. And if you ask him, what would you like me to do, or do you want me to do anything about that? He'll say, do this or don't do that, or say this or pray that. So there was this practicing. Now you're getting this, okay, I have an assignment. And then we come into the glory conference, and it's bright. He says to me, hey, if you want to see my glory, look at my bride. All the way up to Revelation 21, there she is, the glory of the New Jerusalem coming down with the glory of God. Whoa, okay, I know we got to go there. How do we get there? Start praying. And then he starts, here's inheritance. We are, each one of us, going to come into what we were given, our identity, our purpose in Christ before the time, before the world began, saved and called. And when we all start stepping into it, there's going to be this glorious church. And here's the latest, and I think it's why the small groups and prayer is going to have a freshness for all of us this year. I'm becoming convinced that my inheritance is found in getting you into your inheritance. That each of us, when we get help, see, our inheritance is incomplete without the other person coming to their inheritance. In other words, until all of us come into our inheritance, none of us will come into our inheritance in fullness. And any one of us coming into inheritance is not jeopardizing the other person's inheritance, because it is not a competition. We're not all going to get to heaven and God divvy up what we got because, you know, whatever. It's intentional to come alive for the purpose of love, to love and release the love of God into the body while growing up and giving the honor into the head, taking life and love from Jesus and then giving life and love to one another. But that's going to radically change the church, because the church mindset in a humanistic approach is, I come here so you can love me. And if you love me well enough, then I'll be okay, and I'll be able to love God. And it's just like backwards. It doesn't work. It's feeding. The church can't love you. If the church could love you, then the church could save us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We can only represent the truth of that and be receivers of that love. And that's why Jesus said, here's my new commandment. I want you to love one another as I love you. Yeah. So now the whole purpose on all of us is saying, okay, now you're going to go love. It's your job today. You're going to go love. You're going to love like I loved. Well, how am I going to love everybody like you love them? And that was one of the most fun things he said to me this year. He said, you cannot love as I have loved you unless I love you first. So now again, if I'm having a hard time with everybody, you know why? I'm having a disconnect up here. Yeah. If I'm starting to get all angry and short, and it's because I'm not enjoying the fullness of this beautiful, glorious King. But if I am being loved and having the ability, you can go into the presence in rejection. You go in the presence of God with things so wrong in life. But because you can look into the unseen, you can look into the eternal, you can look into the sound of his voice, you can look inside his presence, you can look into the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the sanctification of Jesus Christ, and know the redemption of Jesus Christ is going to be fulfilled. And you stand there, and you stand there long enough, walk in the presence in there, and soon you will be like Abraham, turn around and go, well, whatever, I just can't look at all this out here. I'm not going to separate myself from what I was hearing. Well, what I was hearing is true. And when it doesn't matter about me, whatever I do doesn't matter because it's what he's done and what his ability. And you just keep practicing. And we start changing the world. And then we're not looking for each other to love us. We're looking to love each other. Do you understand that? That is like profoundly radical. Because you no longer can blame somebody else for your bad place. Sorry, you're stuck. Your opportunity is in heaven, equal opportunity with God. Everybody can be loved. Everybody can be. Yes, there's war for it over all of us, and we all have to press through this. Get out of here. It's like going out on a walk in the summer in Minnesota, and the mosquitoes come. But when you make the contact, when you access, when you break in, when you touch the head, when you worship, and here's how you do it. It's 4 minutes. Romans, John 14. And you'll have to look at this yourself, but we'll be getting into this a lot because the spirit and truth is just coming alive. John 14, Jesus said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You all know the word keep means to love, value, hold, and esteem. It doesn't mean to do. It means to value. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth, Spirit of truth, Spirit of truth. Because the Holy Spirit is here to manifest, remind, guide, demonstrate, and complete truth so it becomes liberating, freeing, and fulfilling in my life. That's his job. So he says, listen, he's coming, and he will dwell with, he's been dwelling with you. You know him, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Do you understand? That is this. I'm just making this like an image. Okay, I'm here. I'm going through life. I don't like life. I don't like you. I don't want to be around. Nobody likes me. I don't feel like I'm important. Life is avalanches of problems keep coming down my way. I walk down the, and I turn over here, and poof, Holy Spirit, you're not an orphan, Steve. You're a son with a purpose and a destiny. And he doesn't say that to me because I'm special. He says it to you and me and all of us because we're all uniquely special. He doesn't go and say, oh, who's that talking to me from the earth? Because as soon as we come through Christ, we're in Christ. And as soon as we're in Christ, we're from eternity to now. We are the lie we're going to eradicate tonight that the prophetic word came is that you are and I am are kind of just disconnected from eternity into the future and purpose. We're right on time. We're right on time, right in the right place, right at the right, you've gone through right the amount of problems to be where you are. So we turn, Spirit of Truth, first thing he does is say, listen, you're not alone. I'm here. I'm here and I represent Jesus. I bring all that Jesus has done for you, to you. You can experience it all now. Let me have access to your emotions. Can I have access to your mind? Can I put new thoughts in? And then he starts growing. Then chapter 14 verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. The Spirit of Truth is mentioned again in chapter 15 and chapter 16. We won't look there because of time. But look at this beautiful practice. Holy Spirit comes. He says, let me just help you with what he's talking about. Let me help you with these scripture you're looking at. Let me help you with this this experience you're having. Let me help you with that. Let me teach you about it. And then if we just are trying to go, give me some, I just want to connect to you and have my life not feel like so disconnected from everything. I want to feel my place in time and space with you. He comes and he reminds us. He reminds us. You know what the word remembrance, it literally means to remind quietly. Just whisper. You're not alone. I love you. I will finish this. It just reminds us. You know when it was used, Peter remembered Jesus' words after he had tried all of his efforts to do something heroic. And there he was, having now cursed Jesus and denied him three times, and the cock crows. And Jesus looks at him, and Peter remembered his words. The power of remembrance, to be reminded. See, so often I think I used to make so many mistakes because I would just try to start new again. Why would you want to start new unless you start new from eternity? Because then it's really, it was always being made new. But he's not changing my job every year. He's not changing my inheritance every year. He's just continuing me into my discovery of him and my disconnection from myself and recognizing my inability, but his complete ability. So, quiet whisper put into your remembrance. Holy Spirit, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and help. Holy Spirit, everything Jesus has said to us is eternal and priceless. Every scripture ever highlighted by you is priceless and eternal. Every word ever spoken, every encounter, every experience is priceless, eternal. It is the weight of the glory that will hold, and it's the war that's coming against us. It's for those words. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the things Jesus has said to you. And using the year as just a kind of an artificial 12-month picture. It can go much further back. It's totally fine. But just to have something to work with. Wow. Yeah. There's strength coming. Holy Spirit, strength. Strength coming. Everybody online, I'm just going to release a blessing because I hear this prophetic word coming. The Lord says, I have chosen you for this moment to reactivate you in my eternity, in the salvation of my Son who is for you all things. I have brought you to this place to bring to you a fresh outpouring, baptism of my Holy Spirit, to reignite, recollect, reconnect, to bring remembrance, to teach, to guide, to show you things to come. I want to activate you in the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of me. For much has been said that is not to be lost. I do not reprimand you. I simply remind you. I simply point back to you. Look at what I said. That's still true. And I give you the faith to believe it again. And like Abraham, you believe in hope again. And you hope against hope. And then you step out of the encounter and you take less time with your limitations and you put more affection, attention to my unlimited ability and faithfulness, and we grow. For it is truly a season of change that is rapidly coming upon the earth, and I would have you ride on top of the wave and not be overwhelmed by it. I'd have you enjoy the fullness of what you've endured and not surrender to it. I would have you have victories that would swallow up death and not let death seem to swallow you up. I'm calling you up, I'm calling you higher, but I'm also calling you wider and brighter. It is a good day. It's a good place to be. You're in a good place with me because of my Son. You're in my Son. Therefore, all things are perfect. Wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, even redemption. It's all happening. So lift up your head and see. Move into the secret place and release your trust. And let go of the details you're trying to work out and turn your affection as much as you can, all that you can, back to me and acknowledge my ability to complete what I started and to finish what I said and to bring about the fulfillment. And drink of me. You have not touched the wealth that I offer. I will satisfy your soul. I will heal your emotions. I will restore the journey and even what the cankerworm has taken. I will make your life rich and full. I will make you have a feast in the midst of whatever. For I am the God who makes a table before you in the presence of your enemies, that your cup not run over, that you dwell in my house. I want you to step again into these truths. Truth will destroy the lie. My Spirit of truth will awaken you in the truth of my word. And in the Spirit and in truth, I will sanctify you so that you might bring salvation to many more. For I will fill you, if you will let me, I will fill you, I will overtake you, and you will fill others, you will free others until they know how to connect themselves. For we've changed the course of the flow. The flow is going up, down, instead of down, up. We're not going to be these people who sit waiting for something to happen. We're going to be people who rise up and ascend like the angels ascending and then descend with the victories that were found there. For I do this tonight, as I said, and so rejoice and take the time to find the things that I'm saying, even hinted toward or whispered or highlighted for just but a moment. Give me some time in the next few days, and you'll be surprised at what I give you in place of the time. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm going to do that. Yes. Yeah. Becky's got a word to share, so if you'll wait just a second.
A thing is established. And so I feel that this is for the establishment of the word that you just heard. And I wrote this out because I felt like after Richard gave what he gave, I said, Lord, now? Do I give this now? And he said, no, wait. So I felt like right now is the time. It says, during worship today, I heard Richard Woldham singing a prophetic song in tongues. The Lord told me to go over and tell him that Holy Spirit would give him an interpretation. I did. Then the Lord told me that the people would not believe or receive it because of wrongly conditioned past perceptions of God not doing what he said in the past. So just think about that. He showed me a picture of him, Jesus, standing at the end of the altar of our church, right about here. And then Jesus would take a step and stop. And he would wait a while. Then he would take another one. And he got to about 3/4 of the way. So this kept happening. Stop, go, stop, go. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, he's granting us. Oh, when he got to today, he said, enough. He broke open the block, which was a strong contested over gate. He said, now I will remove the remembrance of perceived failure or abandonment of the past. Every time you think the Lord has let you down or that you've let yourself down, he was there. This is what he was doing. He says this was the whole life, but he only got to about 3/4 of the way. He is granting us childlike faith and trust without our negative, hurtful perceptions. He is also granting open gates that had been strongly contested over by the enemy and our agreement with him our entire lives. For some of us, our entire lives. He is giving new outcomes and new eternal perceptions of the Lord, liberation experiences from the altar, bringing his promises and victory to our remembrance. So I just felt like the Lord said, now establish it into the atmosphere. So shall it be according to the word that the Lord just gave through Pastor Steve.
So Becky, let's all stand together, and I want you to pray that, because that's establishing prayer.
Yeah.
Agree with
Father,
that.
I thank you, Lord. First, we had Richard, Father, give the word that you gave him. Then we had Pastor Steve, Father, the prophet of the house, the priest of the house, give the word that you gave him. And Father God, from right from the beginning, Father, during worship, Father, it wasn't the songs, it was the prophetic word. That's what you were doing during that time. And Lord God, so shall it be established for us this year, Lord. You said this would be the year that, Lord God, things would turn, things would change. And that, Lord, not only would you, Father God, that you have been going with us throughout our entire lives, but now, Father, standing at the gate where the enemy has held it shut for us before, where our perception has been that you've been unfaithful, that you've let us down, that you have failed us in some way, God, that don't you see us, Lord God? All of that is breaking off now. All the wrong deceptions, Father, that we have believed and sided with and given the enemy and that gate more strength, Lord. Father, now you are breaking through. You said enough is enough. I even heard it in Spanish. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that today and this year is a day of liberation, and you are renewing, Father God, through remembrance of what you said and the power that is yours and the visitation and dwelling and shadowing of the Holy Spirit upon us. It is a new day,
Lord.
And
yes,
a new year,
yes.
Now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So let's say, Lord, we thank you for this, and we step through the door. Whoa. The greatest thing we could do to get together to bless his name is to spend time alone with him in the next 5 days. The greatest thing we could all do is to give time to him so he could substantiate. Because what I saw when you were speaking that and declaring that at the end was that the Lord saying, it's The warfare has ended. Step into the future. You know, step through what your condition, not to go further, go further. It's like a big door in front of all of us. That's, yes, the adversaries of old ready to frighten us, but no, just step through. They're all chained. Does that make sense? So together, blessing, go out, have a wonderful 5 days up until we start the new year in 5 days. God bless.